When a couple is unable to conceive naturally or medical treatments like chemotherapy make future pregnancies unlikely, there are a variety of fertility options available, including harvesting a woman's eggs, freezing them, and using them at a later date. Up until now, reproductive fertility law specialists in Arizona would help couples navigate any tricky ethical issues that might arise in the future, like what happens if you split up or divorce before you decide to use those eggs. But a new law signed yesterday by Governor Doug Ducey has the potential to upend any contractual agreements written between husbands and wives or between domestic partners, and it dictates who is allowed to keep frozen eggs after a breakup. Kathy Herod, president of the Center for Arizona Policy, says the new human embryo law helps make the law clearer, and it is a positive step for Arizona.
Just like a judge will decide when there are disputes over property, disputes over who gets the family dog, now, who gets the family embryos will also be decided by a judge according to the law.
But how does this law look to members of the medical community working in reproductive health? For that, we're joined now by Dr. Drew Moffitt, Division Director of Reproductive Endocrinology and Infertility for Banner University Medical Center and Medical Director and President of Arizona Reproductive Medical Specialists. Welcome to the show, Dr. Moffitt.
Hello, how are you?
All right. Well, so first, give us your initial reaction to this law. What did you think when you first read what this will make legal?
Well, I think it's always unfortunate when the court steps in between the doctor-patient relationship and ends up, to a certain extent, having to make medical decisions, because then things get quite messy, I think, and there are parts of this law that kind of do that.
What is it that you anticipate becoming messy? What do you mean by that?
Well, there's a section, Section A.2, where it says if both patients or both parts of the dispute want to use the embryos to create a baby, then the embryos would be awarded to the party that has the highest medical probability of being able to have that pregnancy occur. Mm-hmm. And so what is probably going to happen is you're going to have courts having to have expert witnesses on both sides saying, you know, this party has a better probability of success than another one.
So are we talking about a situation where a woman might have to convince a judge that her uterus is like a viable home for a baby, that she can have this baby?
Yeah, I mean, so you can envision a set of facts where you have a couple that breaks up. They're both in their about the age of 40. The woman is the one who's 40 and the man is 40. So now the man has now married somebody who's 22 years old, and they both want to establish a pregnancy. So the court is going to have to decide which uterus is a better uterus to put that embryo in, the 40-year-old woman who is the one who contributed the egg, or the uterus of the new spouse of the male. And obviously that can be very distasteful, I think, to a lot of people.
Yeah. So you work in this field, you work with couples who are pursuing in vitro. Is this something that you would want to have to, how will you approach this, I guess, with your clients? Will you talk to them about what this law means and what that could mean for any kind of contract they would write ahead of time?
Well, yeah, probably what will have to be done for the purposes of informed consent is that the document which is signed when people freeze their embryos will have to include an explanation of this law so that people understand what that means before they freeze their embryos. We currently have consent forms and contracts which stipulate right. What happens to the embryos in certain conditions, and this will have to be another condition that's added to that consent form.
So do you anticipate this discouraging couples from pursuing in vitro because this could end up in such a, like you said, sticky situation?
I think there probably will be a very small number of people who do have this law impact their decisions, but most people approach the idea of having a baby together in a very positive way, and they're thinking they tend to be half full rather than half empty in their way of thinking. And so I don't think this is going to deter a lot of people in proceeding. So, you know, hopefully it won't impact us too much.
Yeah. Last thing I have for you real briefly. Do you think as a medical professional who works in this realm, do you think that this is the territory of the legislature? Some of the critics of this law have said that this is something doctors and their patients should decide and maybe a court, but not necessarily lawmakers.
I definitely think that this is not a place where the court needs to decide. Now, obviously, people argue that these are real issues that come before a court, and so the court often feels compelled that they have to make a decision. But I think what's been sort of missed here is the value and wisdom of time. Certainly in the heat of battle, there can be very strong opinions, and what courts have done in the past has said, well, in the absence of an agreement, the court isn't going to make this decision. And what that does is that forces couples over time to continue to discuss and deal with this issue so that over time these issues end up being resolved between the couples based on what they can ultimately agree to. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the best way to do it. People's views soften over time, and often wisdom prevails. And so I think that's the best way to proceed in these types of cases.
All right. Dr. Drew Moffitt is the Division Director of Reproductive Endocrinology and Infertility for Banner University Medical Center. Dr. Moffitt, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.